What comes to mind when you hear the word children? For some, it's the sound of laughter on the playground, where for others, it's the complete opposite with a baby crying at 2 a.m. Regardless of your memory, one thing is true of children. They have the God-given ability to take everything out of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yet, they also have the ability to brighten up our lives in an instant with a cute action, a smile, or a loving word. Here's a little context for our reading today. Through the years, Abraham had learned many tough lessons about the importance of obeying God. When he was called out of Ur, when he went to Egypt, and when he had to wait for Isaac's birth. Initially, Abraham didn't always show that he trusted or believed God. But through each test, he saw God's faithfulness and ability to keep his promises, even if it took a miracle. Now, after years of waiting and several tests of faith, at last Sarah conceives and has baby Isaac, which name means laughter. At last, the promised son has arrived. But as we all note in today's reading, Abraham's faith must be tested once more. And so let's read it together, but I would like you to keep your Bibles open as we're going to read short portions of scripture and then unpack it bit by bit. Genesis 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your one and only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the mountain of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you." Now let's just pause here for a moment and let that sink in. And God has just asked Abraham to give up something he has waited all his life for. Let's put that into our context, where we've worked all of our lives only for God to ask us to give it all up for the sake of his kingdom. And I don't think that's an unfair comparison, because in Abraham's culture and era, your wealth was measured by more than just the money and resources you had. Your wealth was determined by the size of your family. And therefore, when God asked him to sacrifice his one and only son, Abraham really struggled with this. And the thought might have popped into his head that this is an unbelievable ask and surely far too great. But not for Abraham. No, the thought that this was too much to ask clearly didn't get much airtime. And we pick this up in verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God told him about. Now, if you're wondering how that conversation between Abraham and his only son Isaac went, most scholars agree that due to the fact that offering sacrifices to one's God was common practice in those times, the conversation between Abraham and Isaac was probably quite short. But here's a little nugget many people wouldn't generally know. Abraham, Isaac, and the servants walked 80 kilometers before they reached the mountain where the sacrifice was going to take place. In fact, verse 4 states that the journey took them 3 days. For 3 days, you're walking to the place where you know you're about to sacrifice your one and only son. The one thing you've waited your entire life for. Not your net worth, your one and only child. You're about to sacrifice him, not a random ram just hanging around. And when you arrive at the foot of the mountain where the sacrifice needs to take place, from verse 5 we read, he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I go, and the boy over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." And then the servants back at base camp, Abraham and Isaac start their final climb, and this is where the penny finally drops for Isaac. Dad, we've walked for 3 days to get here, and now we're heading up to the altar. But it seems like we've forgotten something. Pick it up in verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Man alive, just imagine the wrestling in Abraham's heart. But kudos to him. Through the entire journey, up to this very point, he remains resolute to obey God and obey what God has called him to do. He's had 3 days and the final climb, and now even Isaac asked him, "But where is the lamb? Dad, where is it? We've got the wood, the altar, but we still lack the main ingredients." And even then, Abraham remains resolute. And in verse 9, when they had reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Now, I truly can't wait to ask Isaac, what happened? Did you wrestle with Dad and punch him in the gut and ran for the hills? Or did you trust your dad knowing that he's got this? Goodness, I know I'd probably be running for the hills, shouting that my dad's completely lost it. But it seems quite clear from our text that Isaac also had a measure of faith. Whether that faith was placed in the fact that even if his father followed through, at least Isaac knew that this end was merely the beginning of his eternal life with God. Or Isaac, just like his father, simply placed his faith and literally his life in the hands of God, regardless of the outcome, because they firmly believed that even this was God's will, and whatever happens, it will be for the glory of God. After 25 years of waiting for God's promise, one can only imagine the trauma of such a supreme test. Abraham, however, realized what this test meant. He realized what it would mean if he did not obey God. Abraham therefore took his son and placed him on the altar and prepared the sacrifice. Now that's what I call death-defying faith. Death-defying because even when the brutal reality of the death of Isaac and the type of death that he was about to endure at the hands of his own dad, not even that thought made either of them doubt that this was the will and call of God on their lives. The challenge in this moment for us is this: how many of us would be willing to do the same? How many of us have that kind of death-defying faith in God and His plans and His purposes, not just for our lives right now, but for the generations to come? How many of us would be willing to reach the end of our lives and give it all up for the glory of God if and when we are called to do the same? You see, in that moment, in our reading today, Abraham placed all that he had in the hands of God, regardless of the outcome. And God honored Abraham's faith in him and counted him righteous. Our text makes this clear. Why Abraham was able to put his struggles of his heart behind him. In verse 12, the angel says, "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you've not withheld from me your beloved," some translations put it, "your beloved, your only son." Friends, Abraham feared God. Now, the Hebrew word here used is yare, which is directly translated as reverence. And this is really important to note when we read this text. God didn't scare Abraham into sacrificing his son like this. No, Abraham's relationship with God was so close, was so revered, was so important to him that even in this moment when God called him to brutally sacrifice his one and only son, Abraham's relationship with God was more important, even if it cost the life of his only son. Now, for most parents, we struggle with this. Imagine what Abraham must have felt as he walked up that mountain with Isaac. Each torturous step leading him painfully closer to unspeakable grief. But even if you're not a parent, you are still someone's child. And so whether you're lying on the altar or lighting the fire, most of us struggle when we read this text for the first time. Because for most of us, this ask seems too big. But then we need to ask ourselves the question, is it really? Is it really too big to ask? Do we really understand what's at stake here? Let's look at verses 15 to 18 together with intent. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And here's the punchline in verse 18. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Yes, friends, Abraham received abundant blessings because he didn't hold back but obeyed God. Yes, his descendants had the ability to conquer the cities of their enemies. Yes, God promised Abraham children and grandchildren who would in turn bless the whole earth. But the most important blessing that was to come due to Abraham's obedience in this moment is this: all nations will be blessed by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And not just the coming, but the living and dying in the same way this ram died on behalf of Isaac, in the same way Christ will and has come to die on our behalf. Oh friends, we know how disobedient we are at times. We know how we sin and break God's heart and even the hearts of others. And so we're all meant to die eternally because of our sins, yet because of Abraham's faithfulness in this moment with Isaac, the promises of God were fulfilled completely to the extent where the Son of God left the glories and comforts of heaven and traveled far more than 80 kilometers to die on our behalf so that the promises of God to Abraham will be fulfilled completely. Where wretched sinners like you and I are indeed blessed from the very moment, from that very moment into all eternity. And so when we read this text, may we do so with incredible gratitude towards Abraham, because when God called him to do the most difficult thing in his life, he remained faithful to his relationship with God and call upon his life regardless of the cost. And may that be true of every single one of us, where we too consider our relationships with God that important, that revered, that we too will remain faithful to Him when we are called to do something as big and as bold as this. But before we leave today, I'd like us to consider another part of this text. The testing of our faith. When we study Abraham's life as a whole, we will soon discover that his faith in God was tested on numerous occasions. And it seems like the intensity of every test gradually increased And this in itself seems to be quite natural, because something wouldn't really be testing if you don't need to overcome it. And so here's the difficult news for us. In order for you and I to grow in our relationship with God, in order for us to mature, we must remain faithful to God in the season, in the test that we are currently in, before we can enjoy and know God on a more intimate level. And therefore, friends, obeying God may often be quite a struggle, and we should never expect our obedience to God to be easy or to come naturally. Just as fire refines ore to extract precious metal, God refines us through difficult circumstances. When tested, we can either complain or we can obey and trust God, knowing that He is trying to teach us something and help us grow in intimacy with Him. And so, in what ways are you being tested right now? What steps of faith do you need to take today so that you may be considered righteous because you have placed your faith in God? Here's the good news. Regardless of where you find yourself, whether life is good right now or whether you're enduring the biggest and hardest test in your life, know this. The story of Abraham pointed ahead to God's provision of His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the rock and mighty Redeemer. And so hear this today, friends. If you are crumbling in this season of testing that you are in, know this: our mighty rock, our Redeemer, our Savior lives, and He wants to be your strength. He wants to be your song. He wants to be your refuge in every high, in every low. And so right now, if you are crumbling, call out to Him, cry out to Him, for He is faithful and just. He will hear the cry of our hearts, and He will carry you through your storm. Just like He did for Abraham, so He will do for you. He will remain faithful to you. And so, friends, remain faithful to Him. Hold on to Him, regardless of your storm. Hold on to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And when you've done everything to hold on, when you've done everything to stand, stand firm on Him and Him alone. For in Christ, God will work all things to the good for those who love Him and call upon His name. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are extremely thankful for the faithfulness of Abraham today, so that we can sit here today and stand here today knowing that the Savior of the world, our Rock and Redeemer, lives. And so if we find ourselves in a time of testing right now, we know that we can lean on Jesus Christ to carry us through the storm. And if that is you today, may you hear these words of encouragement again. In Christ, God will work all things, even this time of testing, to the good for those who love and call upon His name. And so right now, in your time of testing, call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Call upon His name and hold on to Him dearly. And friends, I also want to pray for those who aren't going through a time of testing, but they are going through a time of growing and nurturing. Our prayer for you today is that you would allow God to help you mature in your relationship with Him, so that when your time of testing comes, you are able to stand firm indeed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.